we spoke about the character of Joseph and the dilemmas that he was going through and the decisions that he had to come to, recognizing that he was going to be the earthly father of our Lord and Savior. And this morning we'll look at Mary. And Mary was going through the same crises. And, you know, as I was seeking that message that God wanted for this church this morning, and we certainly wanted to bring the characters of Christmas into the realm and into the possibility. And if you look at the crises that Mary was going through, it was pretty severe. And for the last, and this is the second time though in the last 6 weeks that God has taken me to bring out how we need to go through and how we need to look at the crises that are becoming very prevalent in the world we live in today, into our lives. Not only sickness, but just the financial burdens, the economy in general. Very difficult times that we're living in. And sometimes we look at that as being a crisis, and they are. And Mary likewise was going through a crisis. And we see a great deal of crisis here in Mary's life. But she was an overcomer. And that's where we want to go this morning, is to see how not only Mary was an overcomer to the crises that she faced, but how it needs to be application to our lives. Remember, God has a purpose. We've said that many times. We've taught it. We've discussed it. But God has a purpose whenever we go through these crises that are in our lives. God has a purpose. He never takes you through anything that He doesn't have a purpose and for something that we can learn from that. The unfortunate thing is a lot of times we want to ask the question when we begin to go through these crises is, why God? Why God? Well, perhaps it's not wrong to question God, but I think the question ought to be not why, but what? What God are you going to show me? What God do I need to learn from this thing that I'm going through? What is it, Lord, that I need to do to come closer to you? I believe that I can say this and say it in sincerity for my own life. And if you look back at your life, you can probably say it too. That God never allows you to go through a hurt that we don't learn something from it. We don't like it at the time, but that kind of is the way it happens. He never allows a problem into our life that He doesn't have a purpose to go along with it. But it's okay for us to ask what? What God do we need to see? What God should we do to join you where you are, you experiencing God students? What is it that we need to do to change and to meet you where you want us? Well, the first thing we need to do is to look at God's Word. That's what Mary did. You know, Mary began to ponder in her own mind and heart what she once studied to be fictional, perhaps, was now reality in her life. She was now told by the angel that she was going to have a child. And she questioned that. How can this be, God, that I've never known man, that I am truly a virgin? And incidentally, one of my favorite messages I get to bring to you next Sunday, I believe, is that is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and how necessary that is in our Christian faith. But Mary understood because she had been taught in the temples. She had been to the temples and she had heard the prophecy of the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. But never in her wildest imagination was it going to be her, the one that was chosen. But God said, "You will be the one. You are with child. And I planted it there." God's Word we have to understand is a love letter to us. In all of the things that goes on in our lives, it's still a love letter revealing to us the what. What is it, God, that you're trying to say? He shows us if we'll only get into His Word and understand at least that part of it. Billy Graham, I had this in some of my notes that said Billy Graham once had a lady come to him after a conference and say, "Reverend Graham, I've been through the Bible. I've read through the Bible 27 times cover to cover." His response was, "Well, praise the Lord. Now how many times has the Bible been through you?" That's kind of where we need to be looking. When the crises come into our lives, is to be looking, what is it that God's trying to show us? How can we make application of this? The psalmist said in 77:12 and 13, he says, "I will meditate upon your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Even when we're in the crisis, we wonder, but we can ask what? First, what? What is it, God, that I need to learn from this? Mary knew about her God. She had a strong faith and she was committed. No question about her commitment. She could have allowed the enemy to confuse her, but she refused that. She first went and pondered and remembered God's Word. And so whenever we're beginning this trust relationship and continuing the trust relationship with God, it's first got to be, I trust His Word. And that's where Mary went. She remembered, and she remembered, and she remembered, and she made application of it. She could have doubted God, but she trusted in this Word, and that's the first thing that we need to learn this morning. The kind of thinking that needs to go on is revealed to us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You see, God's Word offers a peace that passes all understanding. When the crises hit, we can ask the question, what? And He's ready to answer it because it's in His Word. And once we recognize that it's in His Word, the next thing we need to do is to recognize God's will. God's will. In Luke chapter 1, 31 to 33, it says, "Behold, and you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be no end." You know, here comes Mary, and she's told some of the most, and remembers the Word of God. She remembers some of the best theological summaries that we could learn and remember. And sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. But if we look at the example of Mary, she didn't freak out. She depended upon the Word. And after she depended upon the Word and trust the Word, then she says, "Okay, God, what's your will? What's your will? I want to do it." And I believe that's what we need to learn as well. We need to know that the full scope of God will only be revealed to us whenever we're in heaven. But until then, by our faith, we have to trust in these crises that we go through and that's put before us. That we depend upon the Word, and then we look for His will. And we ask, what is it that I need to do to join you, God, to do your will? You know, and we won't know. There's a lot of people that say to me, well, I don't really know all of God's will. You know, we're not going to know all of His will if we understand the Scripture that says, "Behold, now I look through the glass darkly, but face to face I'll know the reality." We will know the reality of heaven. We'll know the reality of our God. In the meantime, we trust in His Word, and we trust to do His will, and that's what we have to do. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us about wisdom. If you lack wisdom, God will give it to you. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto him. That verse kind of sums up exactly where we are. It doesn't come from some educational institution. It doesn't come from life experiences necessarily, but the wisdom and knowledge that we need to make application of is going to come from asking God for His wisdom. And He says He will grant it liberally to us that trust Him. And so it's important to recognize, number one, God is to trust His Word. Number two is to accept His will, whatever it is. And number three is to understand He has a purpose. He has a purpose to move us where He wants us to be. Even that's why He allows these crises to come into our lives to start with. There's a reason that He has to bring us to our knees sometimes to get into that fetal position and to be crying out to Him, God, show me, what is it that I need to do to change to be pleasing to You? And God is that kind of a God. He loves you, but He wants to show you, and He wants you to ask that question, what is it, God, that I need to do? We have to trust Him, understand His purpose. In Luke 1, 34, He talked to Mary. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I don't know a man? Mary knew the right question to ask. She wasn't a fool. But on the other hand, she says, now, how can I do this? How can I do this? If you think about our purposes and why God has allowed us to be on the face of this earth, why He brought us here, obviously, our purposes, I think, are clear. We are, first of all, planned for God's pleasure. Think about that. You as an individual, born into this world as a baby, grew up, you were planned to do His will and for His good pleasure. That's why. That's number one. You were formed to be a part of God's family. You were formed to become a part of this group of people called church, called Kingdom of God, to do His will and to come together individually, but still uniformly together. We can do so much more together, being led of God, than we can ever do singly. So many times we want to go do things on our own, but how much more we can do together than we could ever do singly. And then we're made for the ministry of the church. And we're made for to grow the missions that God wants. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, I want to share the scripture. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And like Mary, we can ask God, what is it? What is Your purpose in this situation? What is it that You want me to do? I think any other approach to life is very careless. We can say, I don't believe that, God, and I can go off and try and do my own thing. That's careless. Or we can say, God, I believe Your truth. I believe Your word. I believe You. I want to do Your will. And if we believe that and we really want to do that, as God calls us, we will grow His kingdom. We will grow His church. We will grow together, being ready to be together in a place called heaven. If we're going singly, that always causes frictions. But if we come together, we'll be cemented together, not only now, but in heaven. A true servant does not care what others think or how they're viewed. And that's what Mary had to come to grips with. Mary knew that because she was espoused, or she was engaged, so to speak, and she was committed to Joseph, and she knew that if she came up pregnant during that espousement period, that Joseph had every right to give her a writ of divorcement and actually to have her stoned. And there was a betrothment that was going to come upon her. Mary knew that it was going to be extremely difficult, but still, she surrendered. The fourth point, she surrendered to His will. Regardless of the circumstances that she knew was before her, the possibilities there was be, like she was going to be shunned by her family. She was going to be shunned by those people around her. She still surrendered to God's will. And that's such an important attribute of our Christian life. Trust His Word. Trust His will. I trust who He is. And I'm ready to do His will and to surrender. You know, our lives, whenever we are saved, and we can say, well, I'm saved and I'm ready to go to heaven. But you know, the true reality of salvation is a change of mind. We have a worldly mind. We had a worldly mind, and now God's Word says that our minds needs to be, what? Transformed. Transformed to become more like His thinking. Not our thinking, but to be transformed to be more like the thinking of God, and to be, that makes us ready to be in the kingdom of God and to serve Him forever. I don't know that we can really become true followers of Christ until we surrender to His will. So to repent means to change our mind. Yeah, it ought to change our lives, but first of all, it's got to change our minds to repent, to turn away 180 degrees from where we are, and to change and to want all that God has for us, and to be led by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit that comes to live in us when we are saved, to bring conviction to us, to bring guidance to us, according to the words of Jesus, to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have taught you. That's why I'm sending the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. There's nothing, I don't think, in life that can, apart from, that really can be meaningful when it's apart or separated from God's plans and purposes. You and I, if we really, really want to satisfy God, and that's one of our purposes, is to please Him, then we've got to follow His plans and His purposes, His will, and His purposes for our life. I thought about that and I said, you know, if that's our purposes, what else can drop us to our knees more? To know that we have an almighty God that has saved us, He has a purpose for us, He has a will for us. Each one of us He has a will for. It's not a question of whether He does or whether He doesn't. And you say, well, I don't know all of His will. You won't know all of His will perhaps in this lifetime. But you take the part that He gives you, the purpose that He gives you, and then you perform it just like Mary did. Mary didn't understand it all, but there's one thing she was obedient. She trusted. She trusted the Almighty God. And you know what? Later on in life, as she born this baby and nurtured him and cuddled him and actually grew him up and followed him clear through his ministry, knowing that, because she knew the Scripture, even knowing that whenever she bore that child, that there was going to be a day, yeah, he was going to do a lot of teaching, but he had come to save the world, even her. Her own son was born of her to save her. She treasured that. That's the fifth point. She treasured that in her heart. And that ought to be something that we treasure in our hearts. We treasure these trials that we go through sometimes because God is teaching us, wanting us to understand, wanting us to trust Him, to understand His Word, to trust Him, to seek His will, to do His purpose, and let it be something that we just treasure. We treasure in our hearts because each time, if we'll really, really understand what God is doing, He's changing us. He's changing us as we step through life one step at a time. He's changing us to become more like Him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She pondered of them and she wondered what God was going to do next. And you know, sometimes in my life, and I can do it every day, I ponder, what's God got for me next in my life? What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do next week? Or what are we going to do next year? I ponder how God is going to use me and want to use me. And I hope you do the same. Because as we're pondering, as Mary did, as we're pondering upon His Word and we're pondering upon His will and we're trusting Him, we want to know where He wants to take us, and we're willing to ask Him and to surrender to Him and His will. You see, Mary gives us a perfect example for us to follow and to understand. And I think as believers, we need to truly be glad about our understanding and understanding our position with Christ. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. A great, great God that has nothing but good for us. But sometimes when the crisis we got to go through, we want to ponder on something different. We want to run in every way except to God Himself. But let's understand, Mary didn't do that. And Mary, I believe, is a perfect example for us. You know, it's great to know today that I'm going to heaven. You're going to heaven if you're a true child of Him and you're showing and reflecting His Word. Showing and reflecting who He is. Understanding that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what Romans chapter 8 tells us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we need to live with eternity in mind. When I say that, I look forward, and I say it so many times, I'm ready to go, and I'd love for my God to take me. But as the Apostle Paul said, you know, I'd much rather go to be there, but my place now is here. And our place now is here until He takes us home. Our place is here now to do His will and for His good pleasure. That's why He created us. And I hope we can grab a hold of that this morning. God is always building our faith. In James chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, he says this. You talk about crises, but James said it very vividly to Christians. The whole book of James was written to Christians, but he said this. In James 1, 3 to 5, he says this. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the goal. I found a quote that I had in my file, and it was saved for a message, I guess, on grace. And I just want to share this with you because I feel like it kind of sums up everything we're trying to say here this morning. It says this. How does God in grace fulfill our purpose? Remember, we're in crises. The grace of God, the grace is undeserved favor of God. So consequently, God will, by His grace, take us through these crises. Amen. And understanding this now, I think this is a profound statement. It says, how does grace, God in grace, fulfill this purpose? He says this. Not by shielding us from the assault of the world, the flesh, and the devil, nor by protecting us from the burdensome and frustrating circumstance, nor not yet by yielding us from troubles created by our own temperament and psychology, but rather by exposing us to all these things so as to overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy and to drive us to cling to Him more closely. What a profound statement. And the Bible, he went on to say this, the reason why the Bible spends so much of its time reiterating that God is a strong rock, a firm defense, and a sure refuge, and help for the weak, is that God spends so much of His time showing us that we are weak, both mentally and morally, and dare not trust ourselves to Him and follow the right road. If we are in this roadmap of life called His Word, called the Bible, there's always going to be those times that whenever we are going through the crisis, He will show us exactly. He'll make it clear to us how we have got to think upon this Word of God. As Mary did, she thought upon that Word. She recognized God's will because she was willing to ask Him, God, what is it that I'm supposed to learn through this? I don't understand it. I don't understand why I'm a virgin now I've been impregnated. I don't know why all of the embarrassment that's going to come to me. I don't understand the possibilities and why you allow the possibility for me to be stoned to death. But yet, she surrendered to God's plan. And by surrendering to God's plan, God blessed her as being the mother of the Messiah. And she lived it right up to the time when she was at the foot of the cross crying out that God would have mercy upon her son and still thanking Him for her salvation. Troubles and sufferings of ours, after all, they become quite small whenever you look at it in the total perspective of God. I thank God that He gave me a wife that when I go through the crises of life and whenever I'm overwhelmed with a lot of things that occur in ministry from time to time, and kind of like this morning, I had about 7 things that happened to me all at one time, that how was I going to overcome and get everything done before I could come to church. And actually, they started last night. And so, I have a wife that's always said the same thing to me when those crises come into my life. This too will pass, Paul. And I used to think about, how can you say that when I'm going through this? But now how I understand. Yes, this too will pass, my friends. Whatever you're going through in life, it will pass through you to make you better for Him. You can be assured of that. Whatever it is that you go through, it'll make you better for Him. And He'll take you through it. Not around it, not over it, not under it, but He'll take you through it. And you'll grow and become such a stronger person for Him, more readied for heaven. Amen? That's the whole story. The joy that can come through the Christmas season is shared with Mary. And quite an example. I might say this morning, if you are not a saved person of God, if you've never come to accept Him as Lord and Savior, yes, Jesus was born into this world as an infant, and He grew and He experienced every possible situation that you and I can experience. But He still came out victorious. And He went to that cross, died there, then was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead so that you and I could be saved. And to fulfill exactly and precisely what this word says. This morning, you can be saved if you haven't been. You can be saved by simply coming to the altar during the invitational time that we're going to have. And you can come to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. And begin a life that can be rich. And you can be rich. I didn't say in money. I'm talking about spiritually. Readied for heaven. Because the finances and the riches that we have here, called money or facilities or personal accounts, I've never known anybody yet that's going to heaven with a wheelbarrow before them or a wagon behind them dragging any of that stuff. We will go and stand before Him and be responsible for our lives. And exactly what Mary taught us this morning. May we stand and pray together. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for You providing us a Savior and a Lord that will move us and guide us and direct our paths. And as we use the perfect example of Mary, obviously she is not greater than her Lord. She was chosen from among women. And she was chosen to bring forth Your Son. And we're so thankful, Lord, again, for what You have done. And thankful for Your words this morning. And now, Lord, if there's one here that's not been saved yet and received You, we pray that this might be the morning of their salvation. And if there's any other decisions, if someone needs to be baptized or join this church, Lord, let it become the time now that they might come and be a part of all that you would have us to do together. Thanking you for this time, we ask you, Lord, to now invite those ones that you would have come to make a mind change this morning and to join you wherever you are, however you want them, in whatever way. And we thank you for the opportunity as we come in the name of Jesus to you. Amen. So we go into this invitational time and music might be played. The most important thing is not the music, not the singing. The most important thing is that you get yourself right with the Almighty God. Just like Mary, she had to be right. And she, I believe, is the example that we might follow this morning, and you might come to the altar and give your life to Him if you haven't. Or restore your life. Or ask for that guidance. Or ask, God, what is it that I need to do to make you pleasured in what I do? Let Him have His way this morning. We invite all that's ready to come to Him, come to His altar. Or if you want to make a commitment, come to the altar. Ron, if you come and close us in prayer and also prepare us for the business meeting.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day that you've given us here on this earth. I thank you for the message that we received today. And I ask that you would work in our lives and help us to trust you as Mary trusted you, even though things were unsure for her. I just ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
For the business meeting, it should be short.